Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. It is a pleasure to get the opportunity to talk shop with you guys each and every week. I tell you what, man, big time week this week because we got to talk to Brian Callahan. We got to talk to Will Levis for the first time this week. We got to talk to the assistant coaches for the first time this week. This is a really good start to things, and the vibes, man, are at an ultimate level. So we'll get into that a little bit. Tyler Boyd signing. Obviously, we'll get into that with Chris Sanders, Forever Titans receiver. I can't wait to just see what he feels about Boyd and how this addition will help the passing game and those things. So we'll bring that to you. I want to talk a little bit about Tavondre Sweat, too, because, again, we got to talk to the position coaches. Tracy Rocker, who actually is going to be called upon as one of the folks to make sure that Sweat stays on that straight and narrow. Funny to use the word narrow, you know, when you're talking about a guy that's 366 pounds. But, hey, they're going to look for him to narrow out a little bit and get to 350 and – hey, he said if he gets there, he'll be a Hall of Famer. But, yeah, we'll get into that. I want to kick things off with Treylon Burks, though. We'll touch on Tyler Boyd. You know, seeing him sign with the Titans, that's a major it is a major thing. Now, we're not talking about adding a 1,000-yard guy, but I think when you talk about adding a guy that will single-handedly make things better for Will Levis, that's a big-time thing. And when I say make things better, you look at Tyler Boyd, the way he's able to work the middle of the field and just make sure that he is able to always be where the quarterback wants him to be and expects him to be. And you know, you throw to a spot where you think he's going to be, he'll be there. And that's critical, right? Always looking at young quarterbacks. They really, really like to work with tight ends. Well, in essence, Tyler Boyd in this offense, because there's times he'll be a true slot, but they'll also have him like a close flex to where it will further allow him to work that middle of the field. Having that two-way go, he's not the quickest guy, he's not the fastest guy, but he just has a knack for getting open. And when he gets his hands on when the ball is thrown his way, he usually brings it in. So that's a good signing. It's a really good signing. And Levis said that he can't wait to have TB in the building and be able to learn the offense from him. So that's another way it's going to help, because it's a guy who has already spoken the language, who can help show the receivers exactly how routes are supposed to be run and executed. So that's a huge thing. I thought that was cool. But speaking of TBs, there's another TB in the building, guy by the name of Treylon Burks. And I see so many Titans fans, because of this acquisition, saying, hey, you know what? Treylon Burks needs to be traded. He will be traded. There's no way he's here next year. Look, I don't necessarily see that being the case. Now, obviously, there's always a chance that Burks could get dealt. I don't think it happens. But, hey, I mean, if somebody picks up the phone, calls Rand and says, hey, you know what? I got this, this, and this for you. Look, nobody's immune from an offer that can't be refused. So I'm not saying it won't happen, but I don't think it's likely. I think when you look at Burks, you know, there's an assortment of things that have taken away from his ability to, you know, be impactful. But look, man, they don't have to trade him. This year, his cap hit is so low. He's a $3.9 million. That's what he accounts for the cap. This is a guy that was drafted 2 years ago. I know it was a different regime. But speaking of it being in a different regime, guess what? It was a different offense. This offense here is very receiver-friendly. So I think when you look at that, it would be worth it to keep him. You keep Burks in place. Boyd is on a one-year deal. You don't know what the situation is going to be with DeAndre Hopkins, although he has hinted at wanting to come back, and he seems to be pretty comfortable in Nashville. You know what I mean? You see him showing posts and things like that. So you do have that, but what happens next year when Boyd – is going to be a free agent? What happens next year when his contract expires? This is why you keep Treylon Burks, because this year, getting to face the opposing team's lower corner on the totem pole, it's going to give him more of an opportunity to excel. Also, look, sometimes these situations, like Deshaun Golson, former 49ers safety, my guy, man, he always used to joke with me. He'd be like, man, I just get fresher under pressure. That's what happens. Some guys, you put them in that pressure cooker, and out comes a real good meal. I think this Titans staff is challenging Treylon Burks to thrive in the pressure cooker. And if that happens, they could have something good next year at a $4.5 million cap hit, where he is the number two or three, because, you know, you see these mock drafts having Luther Burden out of Missouri, and that dude's a beast, as the guy for the Titans. But either way, you know, he would be pushed up a bit on the hierarchy of receivers. So I think that's a good thing, where this year, you know, he could, the pressure is on him because he has to bounce back. But it's not as much on him because he's not going to be facing the Jalen Ramseys of the world, right? The Patrick Surtains of the world, like those types, you know? So I think it's a good situation. And so far, it seems like he's bounced back. At least that's, you know, the indication we've gotten from Brian Callahan. I mean, you hear what he said. I thought this was pretty cool. Check this out.
As far as Treylon's role, he's going to play everything. We've told him that from the beginning. He's going to play inside. He's going to play outside. And he's going to carve out a role for himself. And I had him come up today and do the break after practice because his work that he's put in has been really impressive. Just to give you guys some context, you know, yesterday, Tuesdays are our harder days of our four-day work week. It's a really heavy day. And so the load on the players is high. And what I mean by that is both acceleration, max speeds, and yardage. And so Treylon, I think 3,591 yards on Tuesday, and then hit our top speed and team-leading top speed at 22.6 miles an hour in practice. So super impressive workload and performance. And so he's had a really good offseason. I'm excited about what he can bring for us. I meant when I said that the other day that I think he's going to have a role to play.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I present to you Exhibit A. Why saying a man whose cheeks look fat or using a 4.6-second video of a man walking into the building to say he is out of shape is not sharp. Me personally, I'll go with what is being said by the coach. They have GPS readings on these guys. These guys have a GPS tracker on them during practice. That tracker, 3,591 yards in the practice, 22 miles an hour. Guys who are out of shape, they don't hit those numbers. So let's take the Treylon Burks is out of shape thing, ball it up in a little piece of paper, look in the corner, and everybody at the count of three, yell Kobe as we shoot it into the trash. Miss me with that. I think this is a sign of Treylon Burks responding well to the challenge. And make no mistake about it, it's a challenge. Nick Holes said Treylon is he has a lot of potential, but he's going to get what he earns. Right? Earn what he gets. That's not saying they're handing anything to him. That's saying he's going to fight for it. And then I think when you look at what he does bring to the table, right? So I talked to Tyke Tolbert, the new receiver coach, you know, and shout out to Emory Hunt for making the connection, you know, my guy. I talked to him about, you know, some of the prerequisites. I call them non-negotiables, but that's what it is, a non-negotiable. He didn't say that as much. He said it was he gave it more of a prerequisite. But one of the things that he says is a must is having a guy be a team player, having a guy contribute more than just catching the football. So I asked him, okay, that's the standard that you said is set. How has Treylon met that? Now, I was talking about from watching film, but he took me to now, and he was like, well, I'll tell you what, you know, when we have run periods, and obviously we're not, you know, doing it to the fullest level, but nobody is running down the field the way he does. Nobody is putting forth that same, you know, intensity as he does during those periods. Again, another sign of Treylon Burks responding well to this situation. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, hey, Treylon's going to have 80 catches for, you know, 900 yards and 8 touchdowns, because I don't know nor think that. But I just want to see how much he can maximize each opportunity he gets. If that means, and I love what Mike Herndon said on of PaulKuharsky.com. He said it on X. He has said that, you know, he would like to see Treylon Burks be just a hulked up version of Khalif Raymond. And if you remember Khalif Raymond, when it came time to make a down the field catch or a big play, that little rascal, that joker looking like Eazy-E would come up with it. You know what I mean? And that's what they need out of Treylon Burks. The good thing is they've shown that before. That play action deep shot, you know what happened in Green Bay against one of my favorite corners in Jair Alexander. You know what happened. Caught that deep touchdown, got up and said, hey, you're too little. You know what I mean? You know what happened against Cam Taylor-Britt, right, in the Bengals game last year. Caught that deep pass. You know what happened against the Chargers last year? Caught that deep pass. He's capable, you know. And I know that they have seen those things. In fact, here's Tyke Tolbert on what he's seen to be the best of Treylon Burks. But also, I love what he says at the end. Take heed to what he says at the end.
Well, again, that's a work in progress, and I've only been around a couple weeks right now. But being able for him to play outside and inside, he's really strong. When he's running a route and he cuts, pieces of the turf comes up out of the ground. So he's got a powerful plant when he plants and separates, so that's good. And like I mentioned, his ball skills are really good. So I didn't really know how well it was until I got here and saw it in person. But I just remember, again, all the things you hear about a certain guy when you come in. You know, I sat him down and said, look, you're the same guy. We brought him in for a 30 visit when I was in Chicago. So I said, you're the same guy who I saw kill Alabama DBs, kill LSU DBs. You know, so in the NFL, guess who you're playing against? The Alabama DBs, the LSU DBs. So you got to continue to be you, get better, and control what you can control. And he's been doing that, you know, taking the coaching, and he's getting better every day.
So Steve Smith Sr., Sterling Shepard as a rookie, Anquan Boldin as a rookie, where he set the record. Has since been broken, but set the record for receptions as a rookie. These are all guys that Tyke Tolbert has worked with. No slight on Rob Moore, because you guys know how I feel about Rob Moore. But I think this could be a really good situation for Burks just from that perspective. I like how he challenged him, right? And not even challenged him, but reinforced him mentally. Hey, look, I saw you do this before. Get back to it. Those are the type of things that can make an athlete who is very talented but just needs that small push forward from a mental standpoint, a confidence standpoint. Those are the types of things that could help push him over the edge and make him become a successful player. I want to give you a little bit more Tyke Tolbert on Treylon Burks, so check this part out as well.
Really impressed with Treylon up to this point. You know, you hear things when you come into a new situation about guys and what happened with the past and all that stuff. And I told all those guys, you know, you got a fresh set of eyes on you. And Treylon has done everything and more we've asked from him. Treylon is a guy that this offseason, you know, he's probably the only guy, I think, maybe one of the guys on our team from a receiver standpoint. He's the only guy that's played three positions. I'm forcing him to learn all the positions, all the concepts, because you never know where he can line up. He can be outside, can be inside. So he's really taken, you know, a hold of that. He studies at night. He asks me questions. He's really good. I'm really surprised, or pleased, not that it's surprised, pleased with his progress. He's getting better every day. Every day we've been out here, he's done something and gotten better every single day. Like his explosion, he's got really good ball skills. And again, he's learning all three positions. So I'm looking forward to continuing to work with him and see how he can help us in the fall.
Yeah, there you have it right there. I mean, look, that's a good testament. Right now, everything looks good. You know what I mean? Everything is going to look good. We'll see how this continues to flow. But remember last year, Treylon had an excellent start to things. So if he could continue to showcase what he's showcasing and avoid the injury and just kind of the string of bad fortune he's had, I think you might have something. So as far as trading him, I don't think that's something that needs to be done. Keep him on the team. Allow him to continue to develop. I mean, there was a time where the third year was when receivers really started to hit their stride. I mean, there's a history of guys, you know what I mean? So we'll see what happens, but we're going to get into this a little bit more. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back. We'll run TMC, talk receivers with Chris Anders.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run from the DMC. For you. Fresh.
Yeah. Here we go. The music fades. The lights dim. And now, coming to you live from the Boston Garden. Starting at point guard. For your Celtics, out of the University of Jacksonville, number 7, D. Brown.
And now, star for coach for the Arkansas Razorbacks, Nolan Richardson.
The old Corliss Williamson looking fool.
Man, you know what you said, fool? You know what I watched the other day, man, was Rocky III with Mr. T when he said, you old fool. When you said that, man, that took me back to like, man, this dude, man. That's the best movie ever. What's crack-a-lacking, man?
Ain't nothing, yo, Jive Turkey.
Oh, you don't know about that. I'll give you $2 if you can say the movie they say that in.
Jive Turkey, that was one of the, what was that?
Oh, come on, man. It's two of them.
Richard Pryor said it.
No, before that.
Oh, all right. What is it?
Uptown Saturday Night.
Uptown Sidney Poitier. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Let's Do It Again, the spinoff of that.
Let's Do It Again. That's right. Yeah, you're right about that. So, well, speaking of Let's Do It Again.
Let's go.
Let's not do it again is what Traylon Burks is thinking. Ooh. But you know what? Let's actually say let's do it again because that's what Brian Callahan is saying, you know, with the Titans agreeing to terms with Tyler Boyd to bring him in. Just first and foremost, what does the addition of Tyler Boyd mean for this Titans passing game?
You know, it brings a lot of experience. When I say a lot of experience, you know, if you look at the last couple of years, you know, you had some good guys in the perimeter, but you needed a solid, you know, slot player. And if you look at Boyd, I mean, he played 582 snaps in the slot. He's not a burner. He runs a 4.58 in a 40, but he gets open. He understands how to run the choice routes. He can run those little bubbles and make something happen after the catch. So, you know, you got what you want. You got Calvin Ridley. You got Hopkins that can make plays on the perimeter. Then now you got a slot guy that's dependable and has a lot of experience.
Now, when you look at him, he has been a dedicated slot guy. And it's funny, I tell you this, right? I posted a video on X the other day when the terms being agreed upon was announced. And this was 2016, and I was talking to Tyler Boyd at the Combine about being a slot receiver. Because coming out, that's pretty much been the MO where they projected him to play. He's 6'2", 203. When you have a slot receiver like that, or what I call a power slot, how much of an advantage does that give you in the passing game?
But, I mean, it does. It's a security blanket for your quarterback. And when you talk about a guy that big, but also it's not that he's just big and has good body control. You got to have good feet, TD. Your feet have to be good. You got to change direction. You got to use your body. You got to align with your eyes. All the things that you need to do as a slot receiver. So even though he's a big guy, it's not that he's lumbering. Okay, I'm just putting my body on a linebacker or a safety and just catching them. No, he's creating separation. Number one, because he has a good body. Number two, he has good feet at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, the good feet are so important.
Yes, absolutely.
So important. Now, when you have a guy like that, and the thing that really stands out to me with Boyd, like, he's not fast, he's not super quick,
right?
But you talk about knowing how to settle in zones and knowing how to always be where the quarterback wants and expects you to be. How much will that help a guy like Will Levis?
Oh, it's going to help him big time. Because if you look at the two guys that got in the perimeter with Ridley and Hopkins, if they start to take those guys out, if they play a cover two to take away the deep routes, then now that's when Boyd can work. I mean, you're talking about running those seams, the little dig routes, those little shallow crosses, those over routes, things like that that he specializes in doing. So, you know, when you have a guy like that, that big with great feet, it also can make the tight catches when he has tight coverage. I mean, that's exactly what you want, because now your quarterback can go through his read progression. Now when he gets in trouble, he can look at Boyd and say, okay, my guy is open.
I thought it was cool. Will Levis, he spoke on Thursday, and he said, I'm just excited to have Boyd come in here, and I can't wait to learn the offense from him.
Wow.
When you hear that, man, what do you think?
Ooh, did you hear what he said? Learn the offense with him. And you just like what I said before.
From him.
That's what I'm saying. That means that Boyd has a lot of experience. So, okay, say if they're in a certain zone or linebackers here, he's like, okay, I want you to place the ball here because I'm going to do that. So now, you know, Will Levis is going to be a better quarterback because now he's going to throw the ball exactly where Tyler Boyd wants it at. So when you have a guy with that much experience, just like what I talked about, having 582 snaps in a slot, that means you have a lot of experience, you ran a lot of routes, and you've seen a lot of coverages. So when you've seen a lot of coverages as a slot player, now you can relay that to your quarterback. I can say, okay, this, if they're in this coverage, this is where I like the ball. If they do this, I'm going to sit in his zone. Now it's going to make Will Levis's reads even better.
Yeah, and when I look at that, I liken it to – so it's very clear. They're going to run 11 personnel, and that's going to be that's going to be base for the most part. So we're talking about one tight end, three receivers, but it's almost like one and a half tight ends –
yep.
And two and a half receivers,
yep.
Right, where Tyler Boyd would serve that role, right?
Yeah, but can I do another formation too? Go 20 personnel, two backs, zero tight ends, and three wide receivers. Just imagine if Spears been the A-back, Pollard been the B-back, you got Hopkins at the X, you got Boyd at the Y, you got Ridley at the Z. What the heck are you going to do?
Yeah, and that's something I didn't even think about, but looking at this staff – and what they've done in the past as far as using two back sets, and then looking at how they've added Tony Pollard to Tajay Spears, who's very capable, that's a very intriguing option. Ooh. But you mentioned, right, running 20 personnel. But what about doing four receiver looks and bringing in Treylon Burks? Because I asked that because does this impact Treylon Burks?
I think it's going to – listen, everybody thinks that Treylon Burks is going to crawl under a rock because they signed somebody else. Dude, if I'm Treylon Burks, I'm licking my chops because now he's going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage. And when you got one-on-one coverage, that's an insult. I get upset when somebody tries to get me one-on-one coverage because everybody's going to pay attention to Hopkins, everybody's going to pay attention to Boyd, and everybody's going to pay attention to Ridley. So you talked about personnel. Let's go 10 personnel. That's one back, zero tight ends, and four wide receivers. Now, let's just break this down real nasty. Okay, you got on the left side, you got Hopkins at the X, you got Boyd at the H, and you got Burks at the Y, and you have Calvin Ridley at the Z. What in the heck is going on? And then in the back, you got Pollard or Spears in the one-back set.
What do you do?
What do you do? And then you got Burks as a big body. So now you get – what did he do at Arkansas? You threw a little bubble, he catches it, he's gone. You do it like that. And then on the flip side, you put Boyd that's on the left side because they're in a 2x2. You got Boyd that can do the speed sweep, give him the ball, and let him run after the catch. Oh, my gosh. What are we doing? That's going to be dirty.
So with Burks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, the whole mess. Oh, he gained weight because his cheeks are fat. He didn't look right. Whatever. Here's the thing that makes me laugh about that, right? Because Brian Callahan was asked about Burks.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, now check this out. He said Burks covered 3,591 yards during practice on Tuesday.
Wow.
He said he hit a top speed of 22.6 miles an hour.
Wow.
He said to reward – well, he didn't say to reward him, but it was to reward him.
Yeah.
He had Burks call the team up after practice and break him down. What are your thoughts when you hear that?
Character, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when I say character, you know, you got two choices. It's kind of like you being a gopher. You got a chance to put your head in the sand or pop back up and go get what you need to go eat. And if you look at the situation, everybody's been talking about getting rid of him. Everybody's talking about it. He's fat. Everybody's been talking about he's got big cheeks. but he didn't run and hide. He got out of that. Listen, he got out of that hole and said, "Guess what? I'm going to go eat." How do you eat? I'm going to go run the best routes. You'll come in there running 22 miles per hour. I'm going to make every play. I'm going to make the coaches notice me. And that's exactly what happened. When you're running 22 miles per hour, or however they said, you're flying, dude.
Yeah.
You are flat. You're covering some ground. And then this is a great point. You just don't let anybody come up and break the team down. What is it saying? The coach says, "I have respect for you. I love what you're doing, and I'm going to follow you."
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then just to further that, right? Tyke Tolbert, the new receiver coach. And this is what I love. And this is an area that I think just continues to float under the radar, the mental aspect of it. At this level, everybody is talented.
Yeah.
Tyke Tolbert, he says to Burks this: "You killed Alabama DBs, LSU DBs in college. What do you think you're facing in the NFL? Alabama DBs, LSU DBs. I want you to get back to that and control what you can control."
Absolutely.
"And continue to work hard." And he said that he's worked hard. He said that Burks has done everything required of him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Those comments, your coach, Les Steckel, comes to you and says, "I saw you kill Michigan DBs. I saw you kill Michigan State DBs in college. That's all I want you to do here." What do you say?
That do you know that coach actually did that to me?
Wow.
You know, we were getting ready to play the Kansas City Chiefs, Dale Carter and Hastings, probably the best in the league at that time. But you know what my coach said to me? He said, "Chris, I know you got the speed. I know you can do this. I believe in you, and I guarantee you're going to have a big game." Guess what happens in the Kansas City Chiefs game? I had 2 touchdowns for 78 yards. And guess what Dale Carter said after the game? He said, "You the truth." What did I say? Because my coach believed in me. And this is what Burks is maybe dealing with. I'm just kind of throwing this out there. I remember watching – it's funny because I watched one of my favorite movies the other day, which was Rocky III. And in Rocky III, when he was before he was beating up everybody, whatever, then all of a sudden he gets to Mr. T, and when he starts to fight, he has fear. So now the fear was paralyzing him from using his ability to beat Mr. T. But then now, this is the best part I love about it, is in the movie, his wife saw – check this out – his wife saw that – something was going wrong, but he didn't really tell anybody. And she said, "Just admit it. What are you going through?" And he said, I'm afraid. And then check this out. This is why I love this. His wife said, "I don't care if you're afraid, but I'm with you through the whole thing."
Hmm.
He goes to the end of the movie, and then at the end of the movie, you know, he looks him square in the eye, and he says, "Go for it," and he beats Mr. T. That's exactly what Traylon Burks needs, and that's what Tyke Tolbert, and that's what Brian Callahan did. They said this: "We understand that you struggled a little bit, but guess what? I'm with you in this ride for the long haul." You don't think Traylon Burks is going to tear this whole league up? That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I think this is really going to be fun to watch, just his response and how he acts. And I tell you, you mentioned the one-on-one coverage, right, and feeling that is disrespectful. That was one time where Traylon Burks, he showed the dog teeth. You know, he let him. I remember asking him, and I went through and I asked that whole room 2 years ago, you know, "Do you take it personal?" And I remember he was like, "Yeah, I really do." And like his eyes, instead of being like the regular, they got a little like, you know how they, how the eyes get when you're upset, like they narrow and they get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you could tell he was mad. And he said, "You know, I feel like that's them telling me that their guy is better than me."
Oh.
I was like, "Okay, Traylon, this is the dog that I've been wondering if you had, and here it goes." So that's really, I just can't wait just to see all this fall into place.
Yeah.
What do you think of this group? I mean, you were a part of some deep groups. Do you think that this is perhaps the deepest group that has been with this over here at St. Thomas Sports Park?
No, 1999 was.
Okay. That's why I asked.
Yeah, but we had. Here's what we had. We had Kevin Dyson, Yancey Dickman, Derek Mason, Isaac Bird. We had some good wide receivers, man. But here's what we did: is everybody knew their role. We knew the identity of the offense. The identity of the offense was running through Eddie George, Big 2-7. We knew that if Isaac caught five, or Dyson caught five, or Yancey caught three, and I caught one, nobody cared. But now you got a whole bunch of guys in this room. You got Hopkins, you got Boyd, you got Ridley, you got Kyle Phillips, you got De'Aris Jackson, you got a lot of guys that can play this game. You just got to know your role. That's where the hard part's going to be. Because what if Ridley says, okay, I want to be the number one guy, and he gets eight balls a game, but you got Hopkins that gets two attempts a game. Is he going to be a role player? You got Boyd that I think it was in 2019 where he caught 90 balls for 1,000 yards and five touchdowns. Is he going to be a team player and get like maybe 700 or 800 yards to help the team? That's where we're going to see if this team is mature or not.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the difference between your group and this group is the bulk of the performance, the bulk of the success happened elsewhere. So Ooh. Now it's like, okay, let's see how it could all come together. Can they form like Voltron, or will they form like, you know, something else?
But the thing about it is you got to be willing to be coached and be part of a team. If this becomes a whole bunch of individuals, it's going to be a disaster. But if it comes together as a team and come together like Voltron, then now you're going to put together a monster that's going to tear the whole league up.
Absolutely. And, yo, I have to tell you, it's very interesting. I guess we share a brain at times because, you know, you mentioned Rocky III. And that was a really good movie. And I just so happened to be watching Rocky IV with my girl, right?
Oh, my God.
And we got to the part where, you know, I don't know why they let Apollo go through all that with Drago, man. But we got to the part where the trainer had that Hugo Boss half zip on. The white one, to be exact.
Oh, my God.
And he had the white towel. And Rocky was holding it. Holding the white towel, actually. And he turned to Rock, and he was like, throw the damn towel. Throw the towel, Rock. My girl looked at me, and she was like, yo.
Oh.
I know that dude that you do the show with, the one that I met. I never would have thought he could make his voice high tone, high like that. I said, baby. You know what I said to her. I said, that's Chris Sanders, not Rocky's trainer.
But guess what, man? Me and my wife was watching TV. She said, baby, let's go watch some old classics. I said, baby, let's watch Uptown Saturday Night. She's like, no. She's like, no, let's watch Let's Do It Again. I said, no. I said, baby, let's watch Hollywood Shuffle. She said, baby, let's watch. So we're watching it, and this guy walks up on the screen, and he starts dancing. He's like, do your Jerry Curl. So you do it like that. He said, baby, I did not know that was TD. I said, baby, no, that's Robert Townsend.
This is Jefferson, and I'm talking with TD.
Don't want to be a player.
I'm not a player, I'm crushing out.
That right there could be the music that Tavondre Sweat, if this were baseball, walks up to the plate with. You know, I'm not a player, I just crush a lot. By Big Pun. We all know Big Pun was a big fella. Of course, Tavondre Sweat is a big fella as well. And I want to get into that because obviously with him coming into rookie minicamp, the weight is an issue that needs to be addressed. It's something that they're going to go about making sure is at a more manageable level. And obviously, you know, you look at what Tavondre Sweat said, you know, if he could get down to 350, he could be a future Hall of Famer. And I love the confidence. You have to have that confidence. Some people look at that and kind of, you know, turn their nose to it. But if you don't believe in yourself, who's going to believe in you? So I'm not mad at him for saying that. But the fact of the matter is they have to figure out a way to make sure that this is under control. Because, look, it's just tough for him to play at that at that weight. I mean, there were rumors that he got up to 380 pounds. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't care if it's true. I know what I saw on film. I know what other people have seen on film. I know that Rand Carthon and the Titans, they got feedback from other teams that there was no way he was falling out of the second round. I know that they believe firmly that if they would have traded back, another team would have taken him. There was a run on tackle. So, look, the bottom line, they got this guy that I think is going to fit well. I think is going to sit very nicely with what they have in place as far as the support system. And I'm just basing that off of getting to talk to Tracy Rocker earlier this week, knowing Jeffrey Simmons and the quality of person that he has developed into, and then also hearing what Rand Carthon and his team has said, this organization. In fact, I'm not going to sit here and try to explain it. I'll just let Rand explain it. This is what Rand Carthon said after drafting Sweat on day two of the draft.
You know, tremendously. And, you know, I've been places and, you know, even talking to just different coaches around the league about, you know, them liking a certain level of player. And a certain situation comes to mind from, you know, a couple of years ago that I won't go into. But, you know, saying I'm a coach saying I love this player and I want him, but our room isn't strong enough to deal with any issues that may come. So having a Jeff, you know, in the room and, you know, that helps. And again, you know, Coach Rocker. Then you have Clint McMillan, who's coaching on the college level and recruited these kids. And, you know, he has relationships with these guys. And even, like, for Sweat specifically, you know, Keandre Coburn is someone that he looks up to. That was, you know, his big brother figure when they were at, you know, Texas together. And so he listens to him, and they still talk, and they've talked all year, and they're really good friends. They connected here, you know, when he brought him in on his visit. So having those different touch points in a room is just like anything else. When you know, you have children, and you can tell your children the same message over and over and over, but it's different when they hear from a peer or a sibling or someone else outside of the parent that they look up to. So having those different touch points helps.
So there you have it right there, right? The support system. They believe that's in place. They firmly believe that, and I don't blame them. You know, you look at all the things that they have. But, you know, when they went on that visit to Texas to meet with him, one of the position coaches went with him, Tracy Rocker, right? And he said that it was really good for them because, look, when Sweat came into the building, this was like coming right off of his DWI, right? And all Sweat wanted to do was defend himself. Rightfully so, right? Like you do something wrong, you want to explain, okay, look, this is what happened. You know what I mean? That's what you want to do. So he was on the defense because, and also he was not on his home field. He was in a foreign territory. So it was tough to really gauge, like, okay, is this really the dude that we're getting? So what did they do? Fired up the PJ, right? The private jet, shot down to Texas, and they met with him on his turf. Tracy Rocker said getting to meet his family and seeing what he was about, the people around him. A lot of times you want to get a good feel for someone. You talk to the people they know, the people who they're around all the time. That's going to give you a good gauge on, okay, how is this person? What are they made of? And that's what they did. And Tracy Rocker said that he really enjoyed the fact that it was the same to Vondre here as it was when they went to check him out. I thought that was pretty significant. And I tell you, I had never spoken to Tracy Rocker before Thursday, but I pulled him aside and we talked. Said, look, man, you guys know I'm a Mets fan. You know what I'm saying? So I had to ask him about all that and just, you know, having a son who's an athlete, like how that helps him as a coach and everything and just getting to know him. Kumar Rocker, the Vanderbilt receiver who's now in the farm system. I think he's with the the Rangers now, I believe it is. But regardless, that's his son, a pro pitcher. But getting the chance to talk to him, you could kind of see, like, okay, I see why Rand is using him as one of the guys to be like, hey, we need to make sure that his support system is in place. And then you're going to hear this right here. And this right here is another reason why you should be confident. Not blindly confident, because nobody's perfect, but why you should have some confidence in this team being able to get things right with Sweat. Here's Tracy Rocker.
Well, the challenge, I don't foresee it as a challenge. I think within this business, You know, we all taking, you know, all young men and all of women and men, we've all been 22, 23, and we all know what we did. And so that's not the challenge. It's what we do.
Right.
And now after that, it's one with the weight is that's going to be a process. And I think we have the right people in process to make this work for. And, is it easy? No, it's not easy. But you know what? As long as you get a little support and everybody's pushing all in the same direction, I feel good about him doing that. And he wants to do it.
That's the important part. You have to generally want to do it. But you also have to have people in place that's going to help your want to manifest into actions and results. And I think that's what they have there. I cannot wait to watch this staff work with these guys. It was really cool getting to interact with them. Steve Jackson, I talked to him a little bit as well. And let's just say this. All of that playing 8 to 10 yards off the ball ain't happening no more. I talked to him on the side, and yeah, they're going to be aggressive. And I think the additions that they made says that, right? Jarvis Brownlee Jr., in your face, right? Cheeto Owuze, very physical corner. We know what LeJarius Sneed does. So looking forward to seeing that. But I cannot wait to see how they get this going with Sweat and with T.K. McClendon and Jeffrey Simmons and Marlon Davidson. They signed him. And with Sebastian Joseph Day and Keandre Coburn, this is going to be a fun group to watch. So let's keep that going. We will have more for you from Rookie Minicamp next week. Just continue to rock with us. We appreciate each of you for tuning in, man. Appreciate Chris Sanders, David James.
Yes, sir.
In the building, making it happen, man. And definitely before everything else, we would not be able to do this without your support. So that's what is most important. So definitely continue to rock with us. Check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. Yeah, we appreciate you.